The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, Father Jeff gave us a picture of how ancient Israel received dignitaries. You know, when people saw the dust rising out into a cloud rising in a far distance, they understood that the arriving party must be indeed large. Therefore, it's kind of a VIP and a large entourage. That's why maybe they were having some kind of camels or horses, and there's a whole of bigger dust, and then there's a lot of people. I loved this picture because when I was young, when the head of state was visiting our country, it was a big deal. There was no school or work. Everyone was required to go and welcome the visiting head of state, queuing alongside the road where the motorcade would be passing through, and they would show a warm welcome with dances and drums and chants and loud applause, and I didn't mind going. I loved it. I loved it, but my parents didn't. It goes to show you that what's most important to each of us is different. My parents probably thought, this is a waste of time. Why? Okay, he came. Big deal. Go to work. That's what I really did love going. But in this culture, though, nowadays, it dictates what's worthy of our attention and who should be honored. Now, some of you, it may be the Beatles. Oh, there's nobody could beat the Beatles. They love being with the Beatles. Or for some other people, it may be Taylor Swift. And I hear for the young people, they tell me if you're really a great fan, they call you a Swiftie. But with God, what's worthy of our attention and honor remains unchanging. We see the same plea from many prophets, after prophets, and the many martyrs, which, by the way, is the same plea that John the Baptist was bringing on the table on God's behalf, saying, "Repent, God's kingdom is finally near." John the Baptist was that voice in the wilderness from Isaiah 40, hundreds of years earlier. God had heard the sufferings of his people, and finally he was coming to help. So like them, we are encouraged to make a highway for God in our hearts in preparation for God to come and in our lives. And you are familiar with all the ills of our society and all kinds of evils in our society. We have to have the same anticipation, saying, "God, when will you come and rescue us?" Now, curiously, in my research, I came to find out that the prophet Isaiah was of royal blood, and I didn't know that, because his father was King Uzziah's brother. And I kind of saw the tension between a comfortable life and a life of suffering in exile, because that has been my journey. I grew up with a comfortable life, and then all of a sudden, boom, war, and then a life of poverty and suffering in exile. And I kind of saw that even in our own lives, that sometimes we live that kind of comfortable life and we don't feel like we really need God, or why would we even feel like we need God? And then when we live in a life of suffering, we feel like, oh God, who on earth will be able to come and help us with it, this situation? And that's exactly the concerning the sufferer that God said to the Isaiah, comfort my people here. Revive their hearts. I know all that they have been through. God said, a new era is coming. Suffer no more. Be of good cheer. Your sins will be forgiven, and you must be prepared. In other words, you must invite God and make a highway for God in your hearts. You know, the issue that blew my mind is that God was so loving and faithful to the earliest promises that he had made to their ancestors, and now he was stuck with their descendants and telling them that the reason why he's still involved is because he's being faithful to those promises he had told their forefathers. And they were so unrelentingly sinful in their behavior and unfaithful to their God. And he was still involved. By the way, that extends to us, because we are the spiritual Israel. God has loved you enough to move heaven and earth for you. So just like God told Israel, he's saying to us, let me comfort you. I know the tears you have shed in the recent past. I know that how the year has been hard on you and all the things that you went through. Cheer up now, he says. The alarm has gone off, signaling that God is on his way to rescue us. You do not want me to enumerate the kinds of evils that are in our society. Abortion and murders, even in our own city here next door, Memphis, there's all kinds of corruption and wars and people dying and kids being people not caring. We should be the first to go to God and saying, when will you come and put things right and make things right? We obviously we have not been able to do it. We have leaders, we have people who will fix this situation, and we believe in them, we elect them, and have they been able to do a thing about it? You tell me? No. So we should be crying to who? To God, and to say, would you come and help us? That was the message Isaiah was giving to those in exile, full of fear and uncertainty. And the same message is coming through John the Baptist, saying, receive the baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, let the grace of God have its way in our lives, to work on us, level the road inside of us for Jesus to dwell in us. And don't doubt the power of Jesus to clean us up, even when it may seem that that road inside of us has become treacherous and full of thorns. But believe in the power of Jesus to clean it up. And I know the devil is kind of saying in our ear, no, you'll never be able to fix it. You'll never be able to fix it. But believe in the power of the Lord in your life. Unfortunately, we can be our own worst enemies. We stand in our own light. constantly choosing the created instead of the creator. And we put bars in our own doors and many obstacles in the way, preventing Jesus to enter our souls and minds. But this is the day we say, no more. Let's make a highway for God in our hearts. God knows what you went through. He says, allow me to embrace you so that you begin to heal and live a holy life. Make a highway for God in your heart, and it will require hard work on ourselves. Clean us up, Lord Jesus, I pray. Let your grace level us so we can become instruments worthy of you. Amen.